In the first week of us coming back on air, the man said, you know what, let's start nice and early. I am accountable. I'm not afraid to come through in the same way as when I was appointed, I came through. But it's a couple of days down the line. I'll tell you exactly how many days down the line it is because, yeah, I actually calculated. It's been an absolutely intriguing method of watching this man in action ever since he took office. Very vocal. He's given us a no-nonsense approach. And he's certainly ruffled a couple of feathers whilst remaining resolute to bring forth some momentous changes, though, within the sporting fraternity. I guess with no fear, I suppose one word that comes to mind to best describe his time in office so far would be hands-on. Now, as simple as that, the man has applied a very hands-on approach to a couple of very thorny matters across sports. As you know, sports sometimes becomes extremely political, and he's a politician who's embedded within sport. So we're going to find out a little bit more about how he's been able to balance those. We're going to reflect as well on all that he has done so far since he has taken office. Ladies and gentlemen, our very own Minister of Sports, Arts and Culture, Mr. Gayton McKenzie. Good evening, sir. Welcome to the show.
Good evening, Rob. Thanks for having me, and Happy New Year. Happy New Year to your listeners, to your viewers. I'm happy to be here, man.
Happy to see you in pink.
I support great initiatives, and this is for breast cancer awareness. The players toured. I was supposed to be at this particular cricket game, but I couldn't make it. So I said, I got to wear it at the beginning of the year, my first interview. And that's why I'm the man in pink.
And I know that the last time you were here, you were in your Olympic Team SA colors. Now you are here. Obviously, like you say, breast cancer awareness. Proteas have been doing the magic as well with the Protea colors on it. 205 days. Since the president of the country, Cyril Ramaphosa, said, please be the Minister of Sports, Arts and Culture, you said yes. What's those 205 days been like?
I think for me, I don't know why people are complaining. This has been a blast. It's an honor. You know, and this is not even false modesty. Yeah. I just love the job. Let me tell you, I love the job. I love the challenges. And one thing we have to know as South Africans that there's countries that's great in maths. There's countries that is great in inventions, inventing things. We are not the greatest country when it comes to inventing things. We are not the greatest country when it comes to maths. But we're the greatest sporting nation in the world. I believe that with all of my heart. We are the greatest sporting nation. We've got the sports people, but we as the politicians and the administrators and the federations and the unions, we are the reason why we are not yet the greatest on the field and results-wise. Mm. Because I think we are holding back the talent that South Africa has. South Africa is rich in talent, the richest in the world. And for me to be put in a position to fix all the stuff that I used to complain about, I used to sit here, listen to your show religiously, and I would be like, these guys don't know what they're doing. Now I'm here. I better know what I'm doing.
What's your biggest frustration? You know, from the time that you were so frustrated that the guys did not know what they were doing, what is it now that you figure as a minister and you still feel that those guys do not know what they are doing?
You know, for me, I think the one that... I tell you on a personal level what makes me the angriest in this job, and it's very frustrating, is in order to be great, this is the personal one, and I'll tell you the sporting code that frustrates the hell out of
me. No, please, you can mix both.
Yeah. I think the first thing for me, the biggest frustration I have is that, and I say this with all humility, what I'm going to say. You know, when people start saying like, he's there to travel. Like, he's just there to be driven around. I've been driven around with much more cars before I was a minister. Mm. And I've traveled, I've seen the world. I've seen the world. So in order for us to bring the Olympics here, in order for us to bring big matches here, in order for us to bring big events here like F1, must I now zoom the people Or must I send a telegram? I have to go there. I have to meet with them. I have to answer the questions. We want them here. So my frustration is when people are saying, you're wasting money traveling, you do this. And I'm thinking, like, with all due respect, it's insignificant amounts compared to what we are trying to achieve. That for me has been a personal frustration when people start complaining about stuff there. I just think that, you know, for me to go in, to F1, for instance, and go and tell the president of the FIA, we want F1 to come to South Africa. We want F1. We are ready. We'll be able to pay and raise the money. And then the headlines in the countries, he spent 500,000 rands traveling. Now, these guys look at you like, ah, you're Mickey Mouse, man. You want to have a 5 billion rand event in your country, but your people are already complaining about.
Well, if it was 800,000 rand the one time where they were saying that you went to Paris, you went to the Olympic Games and splashed out 800,000 rand. Let me come back, though, to that Formula One. You touched on that. I'm very interested in hearing the feedback about it, because I happen to also go to the other side, who's going to be your fellow African competitors, Kigali, Rwanda. And they are definitely sure. I mean, they hosted the FIA Awards towards the end of last year. Very successful, beamed around the world. And they said, we don't have a racetrack, yes, but we have the intention, we have the support from FIA. They're going to bring Formula One to Rwanda. What's your feeling about them saying that?
Yeah, they can openly say that. I didn't make an appointment with the president of FIA. I went to go see the president. I went to go see the CEO. When the president of the FIA heard I'm in town, and he saw people posting pictures, says, I got to meet this gentleman, the minister. When I met with him, he gave me support to say he's going to support the African bit. It will be unethical for him to say he'll support Rwanda. Maybe he could have said then he'll support Rwanda because it was only Rwanda then. But now our names are in the head. But let me be straight up. There's 7 F1s in Europe. In the Gulf and Arab states, they have Qatar, they've got Azerbaijan, they've got Abu Dhabi, they have Saudi Arabia. Why is it that Africa should only get one? It can't be. But let's go and say, I am not saying Rwanda. I'm saying that much more countries like Morocco should also get an F1. But I'm saying that you can't really, to be honest with you, compare South Africa's bid with that of Rwanda. Because the president of Rwanda supports F1.
Yes.
President Ramaphosa is on record supporting our bid for F1. President Ramaphosa is going with us to the Grand Prix in Saudi Arabia. I put in a request. We have, our economy is 30 times bigger than the economy of Rwanda. Number one, 30 times bigger. Number two, Rwanda does not have a track. We have one. In a few months, our track will be up to F1 standards. That's not the owners of the track saying that. It's not the Minister of Sport saying that. It is the company contracted to do the work. They've been paid cash contant. They got their money.
To what? Upgrade?
To upgrade the track.
Yeah.
And they've done the Miami track. They've done a lot of tracks. They got their money. They've been paid. No state money was spent. They are ready. Lastly, let's talk about the street race. How will you have a street race in Rwanda if it's such a hilly country? The cars will go back in reverse. Honestly, that's just the fact. South Africa has got, we can have a street race. We can have a thing race. But the most important thing, we can go on the track. But the most important thing that people misses, which for me, is that Rwanda does not have a great motorsport following amongst its residents. South Africa does. And Rwanda's never had an F1. We had one. In 2003, we had the F1 here. The F1 left because the person that owned the track went bankrupt and EPSA apparently wanted the money. But we've had the F1. We have a track that this guy F1. We have the biggest motorsport following on the African continent. We've got a vibey minister that is ready, that has put us on the map when it comes to F1. We are serious contenders. We've got the BIT steering committee. Tomorrow, Zehacha, it's going out public tomorrow. It's the first time people hear this.
Oh.
We're on your show. Tomorrow it's going out. If you want to be the promoter of the F1, get your money right. Get your information right. We're going out tomorrow to the market.
To get what? The financial backing that is needed to, what is it? To get the people who potentially will be what? The sponsors who potentially, what are you going to market for?
We're going to get the people that, you see, every race got a promoter.
Yeah.
A promoter. And the promoter needs the buy-in of government. Now, we put a committee of experts in different fields to run and look for the best, but tomorrow we're opening that window for the promoter. The person is going to put the whole F1 together. Governments don't put together F1s. They support the promoters.
Sure.
So we are looking for that promoter. We're looking for the city it's going to happen in. Cape Town wants to have a street race. Wakanda City wants to have a race in a city they're going to build. Kalami, there's people. There's even a bit, I'm told, for Nasrec, going into Soweto for the F1. So we have all the different people, and we've got the right people to adjudicate those bids, because I don't have the expertise. And when that happens, then we put the winning bid. I then go to cabinet and go and ask for support for this winning bid. And once I get the support from cabinet, we then put in the bid for F1. And then F1 will announce to say, South Africa, your bid is weak, or South Africa is joining the world calendar.
Sure. Sure. Okay. That's breaking news at 18 minutes after 6, 18:18. You heard from the Minister of Sports, Arts and Culture that they're going out, you know, to the market tomorrow. So if you're a Formula One fan and you believe you've got the capital to be able to run this thing, tomorrow is your day. Because, again, I go back to Rwanda. And I know that you've slated them somewhat now, saying that they don't have a track. Yes, they don't have a track. They are constructing an airport, you know, of international standard. Obviously, South Africa already has, because 2010 FIFA World Cup made sure that we have a very vibrant international airport like the OR Tambo International Airport. And so is Cape Town, and so is Kinshasa. Around Bugesera, where that new airport is going to be, will be the racetrack, which will still be built, as you rightfully say. But does it not worry you to say, yes, they might not have the following amongst its people that South Africa has for Formula One, but in the same breath that they've been hosting NBA events at their newly built arena in Rwanda, they've been able to host the FIA Awards with the lack of interest from within the region. But it's about traveling, and that is why they do your Visit Rwanda campaigns within football spaces, etc., is the awareness. They want to drive people to this previously ravaged country. In the same way that we celebrated 30 years of what happened with apartheid there, in the same way, you know, since the genocide happened. So my question to you is that, do you know what exactly FIA are looking for and who they will be likely to be a bit more lenient towards when these bids are being presented?
No, I agree with you. Listen, let's not take away, Rwanda is a great country. Rwanda and the latter part of the century come from genocide.
Yeah.
What they've done in that country is just phenomenal. But we live in an equally phenomenal country. Rwanda's never hosted a soccer World Cup. They've never hosted a rugby World Cup. They've never hosted a cricket World Cup. I'm now talking about massive events.
Sure.
Massive events. And, you know, I was in the restaurant and we had an argument to say, and I was sitting with other ministers from other countries, Brazil and all these other ministers. And we had a little debate, very debate about which World Cup was the best. And I said, South Africa. And they said, no, our one was the best. And there was five, even American guys saying they wanted. I said, all right, stop right here. I called the waiter. I said, do you follow soccer? He says, yes. I said, how are your big soccer followers? He says, they're great. I follow all the games. I said, of all the World Cups, sing me a song of any World Cup that you can remember. He, without blinking, he said, waka, waka, South Africa had the best World Cup ever. We called the manager. We called three people. Mm. They remember the South African World Cup. So I'm not taking something away from Rwanda, but I'm saying Rwanda stand no chance against us. If you must understand, if the Liberty Group, they are a corporate entity. They're for business. Now, I'm a businessman. My product, are you saying to me people will go for 10 years to Rwanda and 10 years to South Africa as a business person? If you have to take commercial decisions, which the Liberty Group takes, there can be nostalgia by FIA and whatever, but the product belongs to Liberty. And Liberty needs to make commercial decisions. And the commercial decision that any right-thinking business person will do, because you have to bring people. Silverstone, 450,000 people. Qatar, 52,000 people. South Africa, 100,000 people in Kyalami, 200,000 people, 300, 400,000 people outside. The Red Bull guys had a street race here. They had like 30,000 people lining the streets. One car. One old driver, DC. He's no longer driving for a competitive team. 30,000 people. It's nearly as much as the people that attended the old Qatar Grand Prix.
I need to take a quick break, Minister, because when I come back, also want to find out as well the safety of individuals. I think you would be, because you are in government, also would have known and noticed the spike in what people term just general crime. They're not safe. We're not safe in our homes. But then in shouting and saying the world, please come to us, when us who are in South Africa are not guaranteed of our safety.
Hashtag MSW live now on 947 Vuma FM, Rise FM, and Soweto Live at the same time. Hashtag MSW. Hashtag MSW.
Hashtag MSW. Hi, Rob. Greetings to you. This is Tommy Nyati from Edenville. And greetings to the minister. Minister, happy new year to you. I just want to find out from you, have you achieved your goals in the first 100 days in office? I know it's more than 100 days, but I know everyone has got a target, especially those in government, to achieve something in the first 100 days. What have you achieved in your first 100 days as minister? What has you implemented in those 100 days, first 100 days? Thank you.
All right, Tom Mnyeti, thank you so much indeed for that question. Minister, would you say achievements after 100 days? I know that today it's 205 days, but let's track it back to what he wants, 100 days, major achievements.
All right, for the sake of time, I will just advise him first. I'm going to answer, but he should go back to the whole speech I gave, 1 hour speech of all my achievements. It's still there on social media, you'll find, but I've achieved a lot of things in my first 100 days, you know. I have managed to save the School of Arts, the National School of Arts that was about to close down. I stepped in. I have managed to bring artists together and to help stabilize and formalize the artists. I've managed to get the most important rugby game to be screened, and everybody had an opportunity to look at it. I have helped so many different sporting codes, the basketball, under 18 FIBA World African tournament was supposed to bomb out. I then stepped in. So as I said to you, there's a lot. I was very happy. I was very chuffed with my 100-day report. There was a lot of things I've achieved in my 100. It's all there. I'm just telling you, just go back and you'll find all of that.
Let me touch on cricket, though, because currently the SA20 is on the go. What's your overall impression before I ask you any direct question?
Now, let me tell you first. Firstly, I think it's a brilliant thing what the SA20 is doing. Tickets are being sold out, you know. It's January and people are filling stadiums. Mm. But, you know, we need also to be honest, and I'm very unhappy about the SA20 because, firstly, there's no South African that owns a team. All six teams there are being owned by Indian gentlemen. It can't be that in India, all the teams are owned by Indian people. You come to South Africa, all the teams are owned by Indian people. That I'm never going to allow. That's number one. I am going to meet with Cricket SA. I've spoken to them already. I said, our next meeting, this is the agenda point. You know, also, I'm not happy with the fact that next year there's no test game here in South Africa. I mean, it can't be. Who takes these decisions? I mean, why do we allow people just to run over us? And those are the things that that's the negatives. But there's a lot of positives where you have a very good coach. You have a Cricket SA is doing a great job. The players are doing the best job ever. They are the top team in the world.
This is the national team, not the Proteas.
National team. The national team. But as far as the SA20s are concerned, those are my concerns. And it can't be that South Africans don't own a team. How is that even right? And in India, we don't own a team. It's only Indian business people. South Africa, we don't own a team in South Africa. I said to them, I'm willing to go to war to make sure that they will have to put two extra teams there. And we will not be the first to have done that. The Indian cricket authorities also put two extra teams. They will have to put two extra teams. And with those two extra teams, it will only be South Africans that must be eligible.
What if they don't?
Well, you see, the problem that people are doing is that if they don't do that, then they are not patriots. If they don't, you know, for us, the power structure, like even in soccer, is that you can't really interfere. You can interfere to a certain, but we must make sure that the people in cricket then vote out the people that's there now.
But there are also imperatives, Minister, where the transformation imperatives are also just as important. And it's hard to fathom that of these six teams that you mentioned, there's only 12 black Africans that are there.
No, it's a problem. I said to Cricket SA, I called them in. I said, there's only one thing on the agenda. The board of CSA. I said to them, there's only one thing on the agenda. It is, I want to tell you what is not going to happen, I told them. When they sat down, including the president of Cricket SA, I said, let me tell you what is not going to happen while I'm the minister. I'm not going to switch my TV on. And the World Cup is starting. And there's not one person. There's only white boys playing there. I said, that is not going to happen. That is not going to happen. I'm telling you now, that's not going to happen because you're sending a wrong message to the world that black people are incapable of playing on that level. You're sending very different messages out that our social cohesion is not working. We're not a social cohesive country. You're sending a message out that there's not truly transformation. I said to them, I will never, ever allow that. And I want you all to say to me individually, do you understand what I'm saying? They said, all of them said yes. And I said, I'm not going to wait until I switch on my TV. Before that happens, I already want to see. I said, even if it means I must send Rassie Erasmus to go and assist you, to show you what is a pipeline of players. I think, you know, we must be honest about these things. We are way too, people have been allowed as if they're doing black players a favor. Those things, Rob, will never happen under me. Let me tell you.
Because you would have switched on the TV on the opening day, and this had to take, anybody can go on Twitter right now, gentleman called Graham Codrington, who posted at the time, he says, Cricket SA20, the opening game of this year's SA20 is between Cape Town as well as Sunrisers. 22 players on the field, not one of them is a black African. When will Cricket SA sort themselves out? This is unacceptable. This is a view that's come from this gentleman who's an observer of cricket globally.
No, that's a very good view. And it's a view I agree with. And you asked me the question while I'm in the process. I'm meeting them next week on the same matter.
Okay.
Because I met with them and I said to them, I will meet with you again in 2 months' time. And I want to see what progress has been made. I met with the coach. Me and him are going for dinner. I met with him. I said to him, listen, you need to understand that South Africa is a country of hope and a country of different nations.
Is this coach Rob Walters or is this coach Shukri Conrad?
Shukri Conrad. I met with Shukri Conrad, a great gentleman. And I said to him that I'm a great admirer of your work And I said, I will tell you what we're going to talk about when we meet.
Mm.
But with Cricket SA, I said to them, you've got 800 million rent in the bank. You should be using, I told the president of Cricket SA, I told the board members, I said, you said it was 800,000 rent in the bank. I said, do you know why South Africa don't deliver black batsmen? Let me tell you why we don't have black batsmen in South Africa. We have black bowlers, but we don't have black batsmen. It's because a ball is not that expensive.
Mm-hmm.
But to have a batting outfit, the helmet, the guards, everything, that's expensive. That's why we don't develop black batsmen. But you have 800 million rand in the bank. I said to them, it's unacceptable that an NPO has 800 million in the bank. What type of NPO is this? A non-profit. You have more cash than most companies. I told them that. And I went further. I remember one day he said, are we trying to save it for the World Cup in 2 years? I said, in 2 years, you will not be here if that is your attitude.
Sure. But then it goes back again to say that maybe the commercialization of the sport as it is now, yes, wonderful entity that we're seeing now on our television screens. Young kids, there's a good vibe, there's DJs, there's all sorts of things. Great. But at the bottom of all of this is the hard-fought transformation imperatives that are not being followed. And a great example with the Joburg Super Kings. I mean, Ulutho Sipamla, I mean, he has a kid who was initially not included. He was not selected, right? And then he then comes in to be a replacement to the other replacement. So now he's number three in the line. So he had to wait for two injuries to happen before he is then called up. And literally, he comes through. First game, one of the greatest performances that we've seen. But he was never given an opportunity. So he had to go step one, step two, two injuries. Then he was dropped in there, only to perform admirably and for everyone to say, wow, they were singing his praises. Imagine how many others are being shut out
in the same way. No, Rob, what you're saying is true. I'm not even going to debate that or try to defend it. I'm equally aggrieved. And I've mentioned names of people like the president of Cricket SA, like the whole board of Cricket SA. I have met with them and I've raised this particular issues because I don't understand. Do they understand the role that they've been given?
Mm-hmm.
It's not only a role to make sure we see the team playing, but it's also a role that speaks to how far we've come as a country. We will not going to allow that. That's why I've mentioned it. I had a meeting with them with one agenda item, which is your transformation sucks. It sucks. It is embarrassing. We are not going to allow that. And you know, and not only cricket, you know, what is an indictment for me as a minister of sport is that in South Africa, and it's not only cricket, but let's look at swimming. Do you know that we've never had a participant in the Olympics in the past 30 years? Like, I'm not talking about a medalist.
Mm-hmm. Participant.
A participant. We've never had a black person qualify. Now, you can't tell me. My daughter, Zara, when at the school, I went to a swimming thing, and she was the only black child there, and she came number one. My son is a top swimmer. And the reason why they swim, because they grew up in houses where there's swimming pools. So all I'm trying to say to you is that we have to be honest that there's a problem with transformation. Hence, I'm calling all the federations in the month of February, all of them, because there's a big problem. People become, they get into these positions to travel overseas and the perks.
Travel business
and
class.
And the salary.
Yeah.
And not to bring up our athletes. Some of them are just downright useless. I'm telling you, like incompetent to the max. And you look at basketball in this country, for me, that's probably the worst organization in South Africa.
Basketball. Why do you say that?
Let me tell you. I'm sitting in a meeting. We are talking to the people of UFC.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to have Drikus's fight in South Africa. And they said, but is South Africa ready? South Africa ready? I said, South Africa has never been ready, never been more ready. We were born ready. And I'm telling about the World Cup. I'm telling them. And then I get a call from Bakang, a message from Bakang. She's like, Manasseh, you got to step out of that meeting quickly. I think there's a bomb that's about to go off. So I'm like, I'm just going to return to the bathroom, gentlemen. I take my phone. I hear that basketball is about to make an announcement. Basketball Africa mm-hmm. is now about to make an announcement that South Africa has applied to host the under 18 African Basketball Championship. We've applied for that a year ago already.
Yeah.
We were granted that thing. We won. And the people at the airport, the people coming, there's no hotels booked for them. All the players. Venues has not been paid. There's no transport arranged for them, no buses to pick them up from the airport, nothing. I then excuse myself from the meeting. I call Basketball SA immediately. I said, drop everything, I want to see you. What happened? Minister, we tried. There was no money. I said, guys, do you understand I can have you all arrested? Because what you're doing is crime.
Mm-hmm.
There's 15-year-old kids at the airport waiting to travel, and they have nowhere to sleep. They have nowhere. Nothing has been arranged. What about the name South Africa? My staff, I thank God for them. They didn't sleep that evening. I had to make a call through to the African president of basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily for me, he said something that for me was like, it's always good to be kind and nice. He said, Minister, I remember you. We were there in Paris. And you came to greet me and you saw it was only me and you there and you chatted to me. Nobody spoke to me. I was standing in a corner, but you came to chat to me. I'm like, yeah, I remember. And honestly, I didn't remember that moment. I'm like, my brother, I remember. You are my brother. Please give us a chance. Long story short, we managed to host a very successful one.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what makes me angry about SASCOC, they have inherited a very corrupt SASCOC. Very corrupt one. Very corrupt.
SASCOC is corrupt.
No. The current leadership of SASCOC
yes.
inherited a very corrupt SASCOC, the previous one, the previous leaders.
Right.
These people that's there now has really worked hard to turn the corner. But they allow people like Basketball SA, Swimming South Africa, people changing apparently being in disregard of the Constitution. People have been there since longer than all the presidents together. Running Swimming South Africa. Now, SASCOC is making these one or two bad apples, rotten apples, to really, really undermine the good work that they've been doing in other.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to do that. So I am now talking to SASCOC tomorrow, actually. No, Tuesday. Yeah. And I'm going to tell them, guys, come on, this can't go on like this. We've got incompetent people.
But South Africa is hosting BAL just now this year, later on in a couple of months. BAL Season 5 is coming through after Rwanda has been hosting it all along. So it will be in Pretoria. It will be staged there. How will things change? Find out.
Previously on Marawa Sports Worldwide. Obrimodiba, Tom is in Edenville.
I'm fine. I am proud to be speaking to you on national radio. There is this fala which you always do when you're playing, especially against North Africans. What comes to your mind and what you call it in English? Maybe you can describe it better. We only call it vala. We don't know it in English.
Tom, thank you so much. Indeed, you knew exactly what he was talking about. Eh?
Yeah.
Please help us.
I believe it opens up space. And every time I did this, that person would shift. And I know, I think it helps me come out of tight situations. Yeah.
Hashtag MSW.
Good evening, Robert. Good evening, Minister. Compliments of the season to both of you. Minister McKenzie, I just love your enthusiasm and your energy, and I hope that it carries on throughout your term in office. Minister, I'm passionate about school sports, and I believe we share the same passion. Can you please ensure that, especially the former Model C schools, include sporting activities like soccer, football, basketball, baseball, and other sporting activities that earn a lot of money for the players, especially when they go professional. And that will, you know, contribute a lot to our economy, because a lot of the schools, former Model C schools, are resistant on doing that, even when they have the money and the facilities. Thanks, Tafara.
Thank you so much, Minister of Sports, Arts and Culture. Minister Gayton McKenzie is my guest, is live in studio. We're also live on the YouTube channel, so you can watch, you can listen, you can post a comment there as well. Otherwise, send us a WhatsApp voice note on 060-708-0484. And he was just praising the enthusiasm, but he also mixes it up with school sport. How do you respond to him?
Now, you know, for me, he's saying the right things. You know, there's no country that can continue its greatness without involving school sports. School sports in South Africa, yeah, is very, very, very have and have nots. If your child goes to a private school, the Model C school, they're definitely bound to be recognized. You look at the best prospect to come out of South Africa, Walaza, Bayanda. He had to go to a private school, semi-private school or whatever you call it.
Kuro.
Yeah, Kuro. For him to be recognized. If he had stayed in his old school, would we have seen him today? So I'm passionate about school sport. And you know, the good thing is that we have a Minister of Basic Education that's equally passionate about school sport. And we are going to show this year, not next year. This year, when we give our budgets, you're going to see that school sport is going to have the most prominent space in that budget.
Sure. I got a question, and it came through from our colleagues here at Prime Media. It's from EWN. They asked the question along the similar lines as what the previous voice note says. It says, given that schools have just started, sport is the great equalizer. What are your plans for school sport? There's the resource of infrastructure as well, aspect, as well as affordability of some of the sporting codes. Given that, Minister, and like you says, that there is inequality, how do you plan to straighten that?
Right. I think inequality for me also goes with the fact that black players are not prominent in our national teams, and like swimming and like cricket. I am at the moment still working with what my predecessor budgeted for. And school sport wasn't as prominent in the budget, didn't find such expression. Now, for the first time as the minister, I'm going to sit really fully and then give the line of march. This is where the money should go to, and school sport will be prominent. Let's take a sport, for instance, like pole vaulting. There's no black school that does that thing. Why is that? Because it's expensive. Now, we need to buy that for the schools that can't afford. And I want to say two things regarding that. Before I get to my biggest frustration, is that it's going to find expression. School sport is our future. If I as a minister don't do school sport, then I'm just reckless. I'm reckless with the future of this country.
And if you don't uphold that, then would we say then, as a minister, you would have failed South Africans?
I would say that. Before you could say it.
Yeah.
If I don't uphold the upliftment of school sport, then I have failed. And I'm one guy that tells you straight up. I'll be the first one who walks around with a board around my neck. I'm a failure because I promised school sports is going to come back and I didn't do it.
How much time do we give you?
You give me a few months. Let me just get my budget, and in my budget speech, you'll see how much are we allocating for that particular thing. You know, the government of national unity themselves speak about the fact that school sport should really now find expression in our schools. I'm speaking to the people in Jamaica because I think they run the most effective school sport. But you know, Rob, there's something that...
What's your frustration? You talked about a frustration.
Let me tell you my frustration.
Yeah.
It's so easy for us when we don't see black people on a cricket field, when we don't see black swimmers. It's so easy for us to say, these white people don't want to change. It's very easy. And it's a natural thing for some. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you what is the truth. It is the sport in this country is not being run by white people. All the presidents of all the federations I'm still to meet one white one. It's our own people. We are being sold out by our own people. And people are scared to say it. They are there, black as us. But they take decisions. They're scared of people. They're scared to take decisions. CEOs, cricket, let's take cricket. Cricket CEO is not white.
No.
The president of cricket is not white. I haven't seen one white person in the board when they came to see me. These are black people that you ask yourself, what is it da? Why are you there for? What doing it da? We need people, we need progressive people to run these things that will come in there and say, listen, this is how it's going to be. Not people that come out there, he's so happy to be there on the board. He forgets that he has a mandate, a national mandate that should take precedence.
But isn't that the biggest problem, though, that those positions historically do go to black individuals? But whatever agenda that is non-transformative continues under them. So which means that they hold absolutely zero power except for just the honor of a position. And that is it. Full stop. They get to travel. They get to do interviews. They get to cut ribbons. They get to do all these beautiful, sweet things. But when it comes to the main core of why they are presidents and CEOs, they are found wanting because they are those behind the scenes who still run the business.
No, but let's take rugby.
Yeah.
Mark Alexander runs rugby in SARU.
As the president of SARU, yeah.
Yes. Mark Alexander has transformed rugby, whether we like it or not. Rugby at the current moment, I don't care who says what, is enjoying its best era in the history of the game of rugby. There are some people that wants to run rugby behind the scenes.
Yeah, the Achilles Sports Group.
But he is resolute in, I'm in charge here. I'm going to take decisions. Rassie is a white man. But Rassie understands. You know what people don't know about Rassie Erasmus? Forget who's on the field.
Mm.
Take some time and go and see his pipeline.
Oh, yeah.
His pipeline of people coming through that it would never have had a chance. So it's not all of them that is like that. But we do have a lot of black people in positions that is scared. They don't know what to do with power. They play with power. And then we want to complain and say, the white man. The white man is not signing off on the team sheet. The white man is not hiring the coach. Our people are hiring the coaches. And it's time that we call them out. It's time. You see, that Swim SA, those people. I'm coming for them, Rob. I'm telling you. Those ones. There's not one black swimmer. Not one. You want to tell me for 30 years, we can't even produce one person that qualifies. You'll never tell me that.
I did pose that question to Alan Fritz when he was here. Obviously he did make mention of the fact that down the pipeline, there is. And he mentioned names. And I say, okay, down the pipeline is obviously something that is not visible. I even put it to Chad Letlow when I had an interview with him, and he said that is why he's going into an almost academy-style approach in swimming down in Durban to encourage a Mkhwanazi, a Hlongwane in Ndlovu, to be part of swimming at a larger level. But it isn't happening. And while you talk about swimming, listen to this.
Good evening, Rob, and the Honourable Minister. Minister, how soon are you going to deal with the leadership crisis at Swimming SA, where the Executive Committee members extended their term in office in violation of the Swimming SA's constitution? Because any delays in dealing this matter could impact our performance in the next Olympics. And also, what is the Minister's view, having seen football administrators in court on allegations of fraud? Is the minister going to intervene, not interfere, for football not to suffer in this regard? I just want to hear your views around that. Teboko, yeah. Thank you so much.
Teboko, thank you so much indeed. I've parked the issues of football, the VAR, the SAFA, the going to court, the presidency of SAFA, Danny Jordan himself. I've parked that for the second hour that it's going to be starting from 7 until 8 on the YouTube channel. So I've deliberately kept away from football because that needs its own time. I want to quickly, and I know that you've spoken about swimming. Deboko, we're not running away from your question. I want to go to the Northern Cape. Plevion is there. Plevion, good evening. Plevion, can you hear me?
Hi, it's Grant Brooker speaking. How are you?
Yeah, welcome to the show.
Good, thanks, man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah,
just on sports, man. I'm very, the question to the minister that I would like to pose is, why is there certain funding allocated to the so-called bigger sports around the country and not to others? And I talk specifically from a hockey background, where we have kids paying exorbitant amounts of monies to represent the national team, South Africa, whereas you have your sporting codes such as cricket, rugby, and soccer, where these guys get paid to represent the provinces. So that, I just have a concern around that issue.
It's a great question, Plevin. I'm going to ask you to listen on the YouTube channel when we do begin that particular segment. We got a whole lot of voice notes that are coming through right now. We're not going to overlook that. We'll come back to some of the missing issues, like the swimming. But like I promised you, the football will get a little bit more involved with the rugby issues with the Ankeli Sports Group that wanted to acquire 20% share of the Springboks, the commercial entity. Got another question or two that's come through from EWN. So plenty on the involvement of sport all round. But for this segment, let me just say to you, tune in again tomorrow for Marawa Sports Worldwide, proudly brought to you by Hollywood Bets. But if you still want to continue, switch over to the YouTube channel, and we will continue until 8 o'clock.
Greetings to you, Mr. Marawa, and your guest, Mr. McKenzie. Just a quick question to Minister. Mr. McKenzie, are you happy about the state of women's football in South Africa in general, from the Hollywood bed to lower level? If you are not happy, because I assume you are not happy about it, what are you planning to do with it since you are at the office? Thank you. Thank you very much, Minister.
All right, thank you so much indeed. Great question. As we welcome everybody that's joined us and shifted across to the YouTube channel, we see you, we thank you. Keep those questions and comments coming through. Owen in Uppington, I'm going to come to you in a second as well. Minister of Sports, Arts and Culture, Gayton McKenzie, is my guest. I'm going to be trudging through for the next hour as we take all these sports-related issues. There's a lot. I mean, this is a man who's asked the FIFA president for an audience. Is he going to get that audience, or is he not going to get that audience? Plenty of frustrations that he has spoken about here on the show, but what is uppermost in your mind? That question, Minister, about are you happy with SA women's sports? He highlighted football, but maybe let me just say sport in general.
No, I'm not happy. I think, you know, I'm on record in saying that, you know, when there's equal pay, there should be equal pay for equal participation.
Yeah.
And that's not happening, and we mustn't shy away from that fact. I am for women's sport to be treated the same way that the footballers, women footballers, are treated in the United States of America. Mm. The U.S. is a latecomer to football, but they are leading us when it comes to how to treat our female footballers. Mm. I don't care who you can be, a top star in playing for the national team, you get the same amount of money that female footballers get. So I'm not happy. I'm not happy about a lot of things happening at SAFA, not only the women. I'm also not happy with a lot of things in cricket that women, and you know, we need to have this uncomfortable conversation to say, when it comes to women's sport, do we give them equal radio play? Sure. You give them equal media exposure. We need to be honest about those things. The supporters like yourself also need to be honest. Mm. Do you go and watch, when last did you go and watch a women's football game compared to how many times you've gone? So it's not only the federations, it's not only the media, it's not only the minister. But I think for all of us, we all have a duty. I think that would be my answer. Mm. I'm not happy, and I intend to promote equal participation and equal pay for equal participation.
Because someone was mentioning as well that it's difficult for women's sport to make it on a professional level so that you can get to the equal pay, because they also don't get the exposure in television as they should. And they were raising the issue of the frustration that is now heaped on so many female rugby players. The frustration is so much, Minister, that they are on the verge of quitting the sport, because none of the things that were promised to them have been delivered, including just eyeballs, being able to switch on at a particular time and on a frequent basis be able to watch women's rugby. For me, it's abhorrent that it is happening right now. I don't know how you can try and fast track this so that we can see it as a reality, because women's rugby, I see it all the time. the likes of Sky Sports, they have invested a particular channel just for that. And we are squeezing it in if and when there is a little bit of airtime that is available. That can't be the way.
I can also tell you what I've done with the very same thing, because that's exactly the same thing. With school sport, what we have factored in is that we've spoken to the broadcasters we have here. I met with them. And they have really come up with, come up with something that can make, if you play school sports or female rugby or cricket or whatever, for those kids to be seen by everyone. And it's a groundbreaking idea they came up with, which I don't want to spoil the party in mentioning it here, but when we launch school sport now, that will be like the highlight where everybody will see that. I mean, like another quick example I can make is the Afghanistan woman not being allowed to play cricket, and people want the world just to go on as if nothing has happened. And those are the type of stuff we also need. Even myself, I have not made time to go and watch a female soccer team while I'm always at the male soccer, watching soccer, and the guys play.
You're going to be at the Soweto to Derby, I'm sure, on the 1st of Feb.
And those are also, we need to look in the mirror and we need to fix that. And I intend to make sure that we start the conversation about it, and we ask people, what are we going to do? And those are the questions I want to ask that I am going to ask the federations when we meet.
Right, let me go to Uppington. Owen, good evening. Hi, Owen.
Hello.
Yeah, you have a question for the minister, I believe.
Yes, I do have a question for the minister.
Please go ahead.
Good afternoon to you, Minister. I believe that you are good. First of all, I just want to say congratulations for being nominated South Africa's best minister of the year 2024. Salute to you. Minister, my quick question is that, but before I get to my question, I just quickly want to say this. A few years ago, I had the opportunity to be a life coach at different schools around Pretoria, and then I had the opportunity to play with young kids and coach them, especially soccer. And before COVID-19, that was taken away, and after that, it's completely gone from a lot of schools around South Africa. Lately, kids are busy losing so much, and parents are having sleepless nights and restless days. And it has become quite a concern for many of us who are at the age of older than 30, going closer to your 40s. And now you see what kids are really doing to themselves. Some of us never had the opportunity to go and play professional, but we love soccer, we love football so much. So many of us tend to get that feeling of you wanna spend some time with these kids, you wanna invest in them, and then make sure that they make something for themselves. The opportunities that we could have never had, you want to invest in them to become something and make them their parents proud with whatever you can invest in them. A few months ago, I've listened to different conversations and topics about how the Department of Sports, Arts and Culture will invest in schools and local schools and school sports and stuff like that. I just wanted to find out from you, Minister, how far are you with that? And especially when coming to us, the ones on the ground that doesn't have the necessary qualifications, that want to be part of schools and especially school sports and life coaching in schools. How far are you with that? And how are you and your department about to be helping young guys like us that's also spiritual, that want to help and reach out to the kids that are playing, that can play soccer, want to play soccer, but there's no one that can actually guide them in the right direction? How far is you and your department with something like that?
Okay, Owen, thank you so much. I'll ask you to listen on the YouTube channel as we get an answer to that, Minister.
I think first, the other question I didn't answer that one gentleman called in was the issue of the funding. Why are some sports being funded? Why are some not? I agree with you wholeheartedly on that. I looked at the funding, how sport has been funded in this country. It's very schizophrenic. How do you fund Cricket SA that has 800 million in the bank? How do you do that? I mean, really? And you can't give hockey. You know, it. My heart broke when I saw the hockey players selling fourth rolls to go to, apparently, to the Olympics. They had to sell fourth rolls. And I went to go check that up if it's true, and I found it to be true. So I'm saying that now, not making an excuse, but I can tell you funding will be according to the needs of the country, and we're going to change that. And the question that was now asked, you know, school sport is the most, is number one on our list. And please bear with us and see what we're going to do. The Minister of Basic Education and myself, we have the plan, we have the structures, we have worked on it. All we need now is to put the money behind it. So we just wait for the finance minister to give us money, and that money will find expression in school sport.
How much are you pushing for? I mean, do you have the latitude to engage the Minister of Finance?
Yes, I'm going to engage him. I don't want to shock him now over the radio because everybody listens to your show. That's the problem. So I just think that all I'm going to say is that in order for, if you look at our talent as South Africans, and if you look at what is needed to fix our sports, arts and culture, the money I get, it's wholly inadequate. And I've got my whole pitch, which I'm not going to give here, because he might just fall over now or avoid me.
No. The thing is, it is so much. And when you hear, especially the caller, Owen, coming through from Uppington, he's got a great plan. He helps in his own capacity. And like you're saying, that there's so many others that have plans, including sports in the township.
Sure, Robert. I on the pause level, the best sports minister. Can you ask him today earlier on? I was talking to my neighbor. Our football guys is dead. Sports guys is dead. Hence, so much nyope and drugs. Ne? I'm a sports management graduate. Ne, Marie, there's no opportunities for us. Schools, grounds in our woods are a mess. We've been trying to carry bonds. What is he doing? What is his plan? Can he create opportunities for us graduates who studied sports management in his department to volunteer, to get experience and to be employed by them? Sure.
Thank you so much. I mean, that's amongst a lot of things is problematic. That used to be a tennis court is now a rundown, useless thing that exists. That used to be a basketball, netball court is something that we all can be ashamed of, where people sit, they hide, they smoke their nyaupe. It's their little hideout. So all of these, what were developed structures within a lot of the townships around the country, Mr. Minister, are no longer existing. I don't know if this is a burning issue for you in the department, but something has to be done because these kids can't always be driving, spending money on transport to come to the suburbs so that they can use the urban facilities when a township could definitely have them.
No, I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. Just we'll be direct about a caller. You know, for a sports management graduate to say, I just want to go, and he loves what he's doing so much that he's willing just to go and volunteer himself. That's how dire the position is. I'm not a big supporter of people coming and not getting paid for work done. I can assure him that my seriousness speaks to the fact that I've put a moratorium on building anything new. Because every year, if you go back 10 years, South Africa's built stadiums, tennis courts. But now you ask yourself, but why don't we fix the existing ones? Because there's tenders with these things when you build. There's people that's pushing because they want to get tenders out of it. I've put a moratorium on that and I said, we will not be building anything new in big infrastructure like libraries, like soccer stadiums, because you got to fix them first. Tennis courts, you got to fix them. And I'm talking about in the areas where they were used to be once. Yes, use the money and fix it. Let me tell you, my motto in life is a kid in sport is a kid out of court. I know the power of how sport can transform a life. I can show you examples of people that has achieved something because of sport. And we're going to fix that stuff. And I'm not going to fix the stuff in 2026. We're going to fix the stuff this year. I have never said no when Brad Rob calls me. I'm saying it right here in front of everyone. Call me a few months after I've got my budget and I will come and I'll account for the things that I have promised here. It can't be. Listen, it can't be. You know, I saw a sports field. There's now a Nigerian church. Like a sports center.
Yeah.
One of the areas is now a Nigerian church. Like, what the hell? Those things is things that makes one crazy. But now I'm in a very fortunate position that I can't complain anymore. I've lost my right to complain. I must act and fix now. And that's why I'm so excited about this job. And I'm going to act and fix. Let me tell you.
And we're going to continue to hold you accountable, though, because the frustrations, and we see it all the time. Minister, I think you're just as passionate about sport as me and everybody else. It's still out there watching and listening to this and sending the voice notes is because people want an opportunity. They want that little gap to get to the other side. And if they get that little walaza gap to get to the other side, be an Olympian, be a world champion, get the gold, get the silver, and be known around the world. Those are the little opportunities that people are looking for. And if you can't get them, then what's the point? We're here to hold you as the minister accountable.
Rob, we have a huge problem. We have a problem of sports of national interest. I mean, there are some of us when you grow up, rugby was playing on SABC 2. Any Proteas game, especially which was hosted in South Africa, used to play on SABC. And now the Create Games, I don't care about this SABC pop-up channels. No, it's not supposed to be the case, Darob. We should be watching national sports of interest on any given time when those sports are played. It's not a matter of negotiation or what. And the issue of Bafana Bafana has been dragging for too long. Even now, the minister, we had to intervene and pay the players. We have a good Bafana Bafana. We want to see progress.
Thank you so much. We'll come back to the Bafana Bafana. We'll come back to the SAFA issue. Points noted. Let me play a couple of more of your voice notes.
Evening, Mr. Marawa, the Marawa faithful, and to our Minister Gayton. Minister McKenzie, I just want to find out from you, in terms of sports, arts and culture, what are we doing, or what is the plan for our low community areas, our CASIS, if we can put it in that case, in terms of looking after soccer fields, upgrading soccer fields, maintaining soccer fields? Because currently where we are in Rega Park, my father being involved in the Mutsepe League, SAB League, if I can put it that to Mr. Marawa, currently, even at the level of where I go to watch my son on Saturdays, we're currently paying a gate fee to go into our local community soccer field. And the reason for the gate fee is for maintenance of the soccer field, because our government, our council, local Ukrileni, do not have money allocations to look after the soccer field. So painting of soccer field, cutting of grass, this is actually done by the local teams with summing up money, or the coaches taking money out of their pockets to maintain this, to continue playing in the league, having the corner flags and everything to make sure that the league games are played and not blown off. So what is the plan for that? Is there any looking into this? Because a lot of the times, I know you've said that you want to create, you know, a kid in sport is a kid out of court, and this starts with local, with at the base, at the ground. So what is the plan for that? Thank you.
Okay, Minister.
I think, you know, there's also another uncomfortable truth that we must speak about here. National government gives local government and provincial government money to build stadiums, to invest in sport infrastructure. What then happens, and people don't want to say this because they are scared to say it, I'm going to say it right here. Then the municipalities and some of the provincial governments use that money not for sport. They will use the MIG grants, they will pay the MIG, they will pay salaries, they will pay electricity, they will pay stuff that's meant for sport. So what I have done is that for the first time, you will not get a cent from me. I will hold that money until you showed me what you've done with the money as a municipality before that. You know, they would, I will not give you the money. The money will be there. But I would want to know, we gave you money previously, what have you done? And then I will write to Treasury to ask permission to say, can I directly fix that thing from national, that you as a local municipality, because the money is there. Government has been allocating money, but they don't use the money, Rob, for the issue, because some of them don't know how to budget as mayors, as MECs.
No, they MMCs. Do know how to use it. They use it for buying Bentleys. They use it for trips overseas. They use it for Louis Vuitton bags. They use it for all of those things that are about self. It's not about the projects, and because there is no accountability after the money has been deposited into the accounts, there's no accountability. And that is why it makes me happy to hear that you'll be asking for, let us see the job done before we can allocate you anything more, because the same people being allocated funds over and over again also becomes a problem, Minister.
True. I agree with you. I mean, and the second question I was asked is when the person was saying that the sports on TV, let's take boxing. I grew up with watching the likes of Peter Terra Matebula. I grew up watching
Khel
Kutsia, Vuyani Bungu,
Johnny Deploy.
You understand? All those people, Johnny Deploy, all those people, Herod Volbrecht.
Yeah.
And
Brian Mitchell. Tabella.
Those people were shown on TV. You used to know those people. The boxing used to be the second most watched sport on TV.
It was after La Duma. Yes. Blow by blow.
Blow by blow. Who was the guy? Dan. There was a guy called Dan. I forgot. Is it not Dan Citeri? No, Dan.
No.
Phil Citeri was a soccer player.
Yeah.
There was a Dan I know who used to be a commentator. Dan was his name.
Yeah, yeah. I know Brian Mulder also got
yes,
involved.
Yes, Brian Mulder. Yeah. I've honored Brian Mulder the other day for the sterling work he's done.
No, brilliant.
I've honored him in December. And what we're going to do is we got the boxing board.
Mm-hmm.
There's a new board that has been appointed on the 16th of December around. A new board. All those old the people, we are opening cases against the people that used to run boxing. I've met with SuperSport. I said, they need to explain to me, how are they going to accommodate the fact that this is a national sport? I'm going to meet with SABC and ask them for the nation to watch boxing again. So I'm saying that I'm not absolving myself from what has happened, but I'm passionate about fixing these things. That's why we removed the board of boxing. Because these people, you had a guy in boxing that would rent a car, Rob. He would levy, I think, Durban.
Yeah.
He will come 3 times a week, fly in 3 times a week. How the hell do you fly in?
3 times a week.
You're acting CEO or acting. He flies in 3 times a week. Then he rents the most expensive vehicle for him. And he goes to the meeting and he flies back again. I mean, why can't you just stay for a few days? Are you so scared of your wife? Or
but there's virtual meetings that can be had.
Listen, the nonsense I can tell you that has happened there. And we are now asking the questions. What happened to this money? We gave you so much.
Yeah.
But now we have the right people to run boxing. And we're going to see the changes in boxing.
I want to take you back to August. Because in August, you asked for 21 days, if yes. you remember. You asked for 21 days? To be able to fix boxing, there's a new board that's in place. Are you happy with the composition of the board and what they've done so far?
100%. I'm very, very happy.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, I have even in that 21 days, I asked for 21 days, but I only needed 14. I should have asked for 15 days. But I'm happy with, we've got an acting CEO there. We've got an acting CFO there. Their job is now to appoint proper people. And even the newspaper, when we appointed the acting CEO, they're like, wow, for the first time, we have somebody that knows the sport of boxing. And I put him there simply because of my conversations with him in government. I don't know him from a bar of soap. I met him in the department when I came there. But he was so knowledgeable about boxing. And when I appointed him, to show you that I didn't go and get my best friend there that has watched one Khel Kutsia game and Dingane Tabella game. Because I'm serious about this thing. Rob, let me tell you, I love sport. And we mustn't, the nonsense that has been happening in sport. Absolute nonsense. And not only from the officials, from us government guys. How do you keep on giving somebody R1 billion or 450 million and there's no sporting equipment for the kids? There's nothing happening there. This is fact. I'm going to name and shame people. Because if they must complain and say Mackenzie is not giving us the money, I'm going to come here, I'm going to say that MEC in that municipality.
Is that the case that was in KZN? Because there was one that was there.
That mayor there.
Yeah.
I'm just because I am not going to swing for these people, let me tell you. If you get your money, you must do the type of stuff. You know, you have people that has been one building that will have 6 people that have standard for it. Then it gets paid. And then he disappears, then another one. And then you ask yourself, then the politicians are scared to speak and expose those people or open cases because the person will say, what are you talking about? You remember you also got something by the side. That's the problems we are faced with here. But if you want to fix sport, I'm just happy for one thing in the GNU. That's what makes me very happy is that I've seen a willingness that sport, that people understand that if we want to be great, sport is going to be our ticket to be great.
Mm.
We're not going to become the greatest maths country, but we can become the greatest sporting country immediately.
And around various sporting codes. If you're just joining us, it's 25 minutes after the hour. It is the Minister of Sports, Arts and Culture. It's the extended hashtag MSW show. And it's extended simply because of the time that is needed to thrash out and ventilate on all of these issues. And I think I'm going to be drifting across to a lot of your questions and comments on the YouTube channel. So thank you very much indeed for staying the course and growing the numbers there. It is a numbers game sport. And the more diverse views and questions and cross questions that come through, the better it is for the quality of the platform that we're trying to encourage right here. Now, maybe people would have found it strange that I have not even uttered a single word about the biggest popular sport, especially amongst the majority of the population in South Africa, which is soccer. We have seen it go up and down. It's been stabilized by a Hugo Broos from a coaching perspective, from a results perspective. But what do we do about the administration of the sport? What do we do when the president of the South African Football Association is being hauled across, taken to court? Palm Ridge Court is where he's been making these appearances. It has to do with what they call alleged criminality that has happened there. Minister, this is a big one. President of SAFA, Danny Jordan, two other members are in court right now. Your take, as we sit here today on the 16th of January, 2025, where do you sit on this issue of SAFA and where it is potentially going as a ministry?
All right. Let me first tell you what is great about our soccer in this country. Helman Mkelele and Hugo Broos has done a great job. We have to give it to them. They've done an excellent job. Number one. Number two, the players are the best. We've got one of the best teams at the moment on that field currently. They've proven themselves. They play excellent soccer. They entertain us. But I think that's where the good stops. You know, if you look at SAFA as a whole, I mean, the board of SAFA has got, like, I think 52 people. I have run many companies. I've sat on boards of companies. Companies that has a bigger budget than 100 times bigger or 1,000 times bigger than SAFA's budget. And they have 8-9 people sitting on the board, 14 the most. I think the first disconnect is there, where there's so many people that you need to pay those people to attend meetings. You have to pay them their board fees. You have to pay them. So I think that's the first problem I've seen with SAFA. The second problem is that you cannot find yourself in a situation where sponsors don't want to touch you. It's a problem. Sponsors that I speak to is willing. Let's take spinning, car spinning. When I came and I became the minister, a lot of people laughed at me when I said car spinning will be one of the biggest sports in South Africa. At the moment, Cell C is sponsoring them. Kappa is sponsoring them. A lot of other media houses want to get involved with them. Because, but when you say soccer, Bafana Bafana, they run away. They don't want to touch it. Danny Jordan is very fortunate in the fact that it is not in my hands. I don't have that power. I would love to have that power, but the same people that want me to just come in that office and grab Danny and then throw him out are the same people that's going to blame me when we get banned.
Sure. You don't, because FIFA does not.
FIFA don't play those games.
In terms of that. But if you had that power, what was the power going to do under the circumstances?
No, but I just need to say the one thing, yeah, which is very important. But what is also crucially important for me is that SAFA gets money from the department. Now, the FIFA can't tell me not to investigate my money. I've been giving them.
How much do they get from the department?
Women's soccer get money from our department. Mm-hmm. SAFA gets money for our department for development, for women's soccer development. So there is money flowing from our department. I don't have the exact amount.
Okay.
But I do know that my fiduciary duties requires of me to investigate any money leaving my account as government if I find there to be irregularities. The fact that the players are not paid and I had to give an advance, not for SAFA, but for the players. You can't face Christmas because Hugo Bruce, if he doesn't get paid, he leaves.
Yeah, of course.
Morocco steals him, or America steals him, or any other country, rightfully, I call it steal because they will get him at a steal because his previous job didn't pay him. So people don't understand why I had to jump in quickly as the minister. I didn't do it for SAFA as the entity. I did it for the players. I did it for the coaches. So we can't lose Mkelele, Hellman, Midnight Express. We can't lose those people. What I would have done if it was within my power, I would have made the board smaller and SAFA. I would have investigated everybody and charged them so the sponsors can see we are serious about changing stuff. So what I have done, even SAFA, when you want to meet with the president of FIFA, you have to go through the association.
Sure.
You can't just phone him up. That's also seen as interference.
There's protocols, yes.
There's protocols. I then told SAFA, I will be in Switzerland in February month. May I please tell the Infantini?
Gianni Infantini.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would want to meet with him and his thing, because I'm going to meet the Olympic, the IOC, International Olympic Committee. And I want to ask them, what would you see as interference? I want to understand clearly from them. They might come back and say, no, Minister, Quebec, carry on, Hanan Masakant. But I'm very, a very tight rope here. Demi Jordan has been chosen. We can't run away from that fact also.
There's an election that was had.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he won democratically. He can also take me to court and say, why you want to move me and you didn't choose me? Those are uncomfortable facts. At this stage, in any sport or any position, there comes a time when a man must rely on his conscience. Every SAFA official needs to look in the mirror at this particular. Today, what's the date? The 16th of January.
Yeah.
Every SAFA official and every sports official needs to look in the mirror and say, was my conscience, does not say I'm guilty, but it says that my continuous involvement in soccer is preventing other sponsors from sponsoring soccer. That is what I want to ask everybody in SAFA. Maybe go there. But I'm not going to defend the indefensible. Once you can't pay salaries, it's a problem. It's a problem. And the worst part, there's teams that didn't qualify in Africa. They didn't qualify, but they were paid. Runa, we qualified, the team won. They were not paid. So I did it for the players. And I'll continue to do it in order to keep these people motivated.
And that's the 5 million rand that you advanced.
It was an advance. It was money they would have gotten anyway from us.
But that money, at the time you dispatched it to SAFA, for the players, are you 100% sure that the players received that money?
100%. I'm 100% sure, because I did say, what people didn't write, there were some things that came with that money. It wasn't just, here's the bag, go pay. No. There was thing, we need a forensic audit. We need to understand how you're going to rectify the situation. We gave them a date. The money will land on this date. You need to pay this date. And we called some of the players, which I don't want to mention which ones, because then the people will be targeted. And people, even on Twitter, people send me direct messages. Minister Obozo, our women players, Minister, thank you. Our money came in. People were happy. It was before Christmas. And that's when I knew, they did pay the money over.
They got it.
Yes.
Okay. So when you talk about the forensic audit that you want, Who's going to run that forensic audit? Will it be SAFA investigating themselves, or will there be an independent investigator investigating that?
It will be independent investigators investigating the money that SAFA got from us to make sure that the money was spent for its intended purposes.
And what about the 1.3 million that they are subjected to as far as the allegations in court is concerned?
You know, the issue that you're having is that we have a constitution in this country. And once you go, you fall foul of that constitution. It's frustrating. But that's a constitution.
Yeah.
The constitution says in South Africa, you are innocent. You are deemed innocent unproven until proven guilty.
Sure.
That's not me. That's the constitution. So the judges there, they must answer for that. So if I go for, let's say, since I go for Denny on that basis of him being arrested, and then he can go to court and say to me, and say that the Constitutional Court will never side with me. Those are the frustrations with some of the laws that we have in this country.
But I think you got, I think you do have, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I've never been a politician, never will be a politician. But one thing I know is that you, as the minister, you have the same powers that the minister, who's now late, Steve Chwete, then had back in 1996 when he called the Pickett Commission of Inquiry. There were issues of corruption. There were issues that had to do with the breakdown of football in this country, but mainly issues of corruption. That was followed in 1998 by the Mutimela Commission. Then there was massive investigation that had to do with why there's a breakdown in relationship between that was the NSL-PSL, as well as the South African Football Association, which was then encouraging things like refereeing corruption. So then the referees themselves went to get investigated because you could see that there were shenanigans that were happening on the field because they were hardly being paid. They were still seen as amateur, not professional. So the club bosses, the very same club bosses in the league who had the capital to pay these referees enough money to say, give me that game, were being done that favor. So all I'm saying is that we can watch court processes happen that will drag on. Okay, court is now adjourned until the 22nd of September 2025. And at that stage, people aren't getting younger. And they might not ever stand liable for anything that they've done in the regression of football in this country. All I'm saying, you sitting here today at 22 minutes to 8, I'm saying to you, Minister, you've got the power to call on, in the same way Minister Steve Chwete did in the Pickett Commission, if you feel strongly enough that football needs to have a commission of inquiry. That is in your hands.
I wouldn't totally agree with you. I'll tell you why. You know, football has changed a lot, and the rules of football has changed. What, in the times of Steve Chwete and the times of Gaetan McKenzie, there's a lot of new rules, a lot of how FIFA interacts. There were people, I think Stix Murewa was before court. I think Cyril was also before court.
Kubus.
Cyril Kubus was also before court. Abdul Bamji was also before court. So Denny's not the first person to be before court. Evan Khoza was before court on matters. Danny Yordan is before court. All I'm saying is I'm a guy that is very, I don't want to get excited and do stuff that will be career ending for me as a politician. To get, if you can get soccer banned in this country, I don't even think my kids, because they love soccer, they would speak to me. All I'm saying to you is that I'm asking for time. February is around the corner. I want to meet with them. I want to tell them there'll be a commission. What I don't need FIFA, and it might be something similar, is to follow the trail of the money we've given them. That one, there's no FIFA that will tell me. Because I didn't call them and say, come take money. They wrote letters and say, give us money. We gave them the money. It is the King Commission, and if it comes to being ethical and how business is run, it is not a crime to investigate. If you're not making an allegation.
Sure.
You're merely saying, I want to give you more money, but before I give you more money, I do believe that trail will bring out a lot of dead dogs there.
100%. And that is where the non-interference comes in, because now, let's say an independent retired judge comes in to head up that commission. They're doing it for the benefit of football. So even for the benefit of FIFA, because if FIFA are, like they do, also hand over monies to different associations around the world with the hosting of different World Cups around the world, is that it's in their interest as well to say, where's South African football right now?
100%.
You know, so at least you would have given them that clean bill to say...
That's why I'm on top of that. It might even be the same thing as the Picard Commission.
Yeah.
But I'm going to do it with before February, without asking. The next time I appear before your show, there would have been that trail, paper trail.
So concurrently, the court case will go ahead because that is
no,
their
case.
No, that
can go ahead. That's out of my hands.
But your forensic...
My forensic is going ahead.
Yeah.
Tomorrow will be my first day really officially at work. I've been working, but officially tomorrow. But the meeting is still going on. And if you have nothing to hide, you will not block or go to court to try to stop the investigation against you.
But what do you make of... And is it a stumbling block, do you believe, Minister? Because you've been one to be very strongly in favor of what everybody stops you about. Hey, Minister, when you bring in the VAR, you promised us the last time you were on the show, VAR, VAR, this, VAR, that. But why do you think it's taking so long? Do you think it is something that is viable? Are South Africans being open and honest enough to say, guys, listen, this VAR thing is not going to happen anytime soon?
No. Listen, there's some people that don't want the VAR. The people that's always in favor that getting the dubious decisions.
Yeah.
Listen, I did not want to tell you about soccer. I grew up watching soccer. I grew up going to every Brunei Celtic game. And you're not going to tell me. I look at some games. And the problem was us, including myself, when Celtics used to get dubious penalties against them, we will invade the pitch or throw stuff in the pitch.
Yeah.
But when a dubious penalty is given for us, then we don't say anything as soccer supporters. I've seen that over and over again. So we need to become more ethical as the game. And I'm talking about myself here. At the moment, let's say Arsenal. I'm an Arsenal supporter. Let's say Arsenal gets a penalty. And I know that's not a penalty.
Yeah.
I will sit with my finger on my lip and say nothing.
Be quiet, yeah.
That's number one. Number two, VAR must come. I've made a promise. Just to show the listeners, it wasn't just talk.
Yeah.
I've met the whole board of SAFA regarding VAR. I had a full presentation to understand this thing that I've promised. What is it I've promised? I have the costings of SAFA. I have the independent costings the Department of Sport, Arts and Culture has done.
Mm-hmm.
I am going to bring VAR in April. This year, give money. Because you see, you can't say we can't afford it. Sport, soccer, we can't have the third division having VAR in other countries. But our Premier League does not have VAR. VAR makes players better players and more honest players. Let me make you an example. If there was VAR, the goal of Maradona, of the hand of God, would not have stood. Now, players, if there's VAR, they no longer fall around like the players used to fall around. Mm. They no use to lie and try to trick the referee. Now, our players still trick the referee. They still fall around. They still try to score with a hand because there's no VAR. Now, when they play against a team that there's VAR, that self-discipline is now installed because they know every move is being watched. There's no more falling around the whole time like Neymar would fall around and whatever. He has even stopped falling. If Neymar can stop falling, everyone can stop falling. But my point I want to say to the listeners is, when Minister Gayton McKenzie is going to give his budget, in that budget, I'm budgeting for VAR. I'm doing that for the love of the game. I'm doing that for the love of our stadiums because chairs are being broken. People are invading our pitch. That's not good for our country. You know what I'm saying? And bad refereeing, we want to expose. You still have corrupt referees in South Africa.
Of course you do.
You see some of the games, you're like, this. You know, Rob, I was once refereeing a game in jail, ne? And they wanted the referee. But I said, I can ref the game.
Yeah.
But it was my team play. Oh. And I forgot I'm the referee. And when my team scored, I jumped up in the air. I said, go!
You're a corrupt referee.
I was a very corrupt referee in jail. So I then jumped up. I said, go! And then the whole match went to the dogs. People were fighting. Yeah. Because I forgot that I'm not supposed to show emotion. And with referees in South Africa, you can even see some referees, they forget themselves. They will post about their teams, but he's a referee. You go on his Facebook 3 years back, he will tell you love and peace, yeah. Or will tell you, you will see the bones of Orlando Pirates, Magebola, the Mighty Bucks, the beautiful. I'm just saying that we need to get VAR for four reasons. Number one, mm-hmm. It makes the person, the players more disciplined and honest. Number two, it brings fair play in because there's no goals that's supposed to be disallowed that gets allowed.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, the fact that people, referees, are corrupt. We can go back and look at that corrupt referee. And then the stadiums, people destroy mm-hmm. The stadiums during this time. A person pulled their chair out and threw their chair in the field.
Yeah.
And it cost a lot of money. And also, we need, and that's why I'm saying, I'm putting a date to it.
April,
I'm making the money available.
Okay, so what's the date then?
No, once I've made the money available, it will be transparent. It was now for the implementers of, we're now going to go to the market. So I think by half May, we need also to train the people. In the meantime, that's what I told SAFA. We need to train the people. And SAFA, in their defense, they've done a lot of work on VAR.
Mm.
But you see, there's some things that nobody wants to say. There's some political. And I'm not saying, when I mean political, I'm saying there's politics involved, not there's politics involved.
Business politics or football business politics? Politics. Business
no,
politics.
Not us. Not,
yeah, yeah. Not politicians' politics. Yes. But
there's some politics involved where people are trying to block this thing.
But for what?
If you know you benefit from referees that are corrupt, why would you want to have VAR? If you know that you have referees on your book, corrupt referees, why would you want to bring VAR? You will not.
But that's where you need independence, though, within the professionalization of the game of football, so that you, who owns the club, Rob, cannot Butso be you.
Butso is everywhere. VAR, that's the problem. I want to count Sabu Tsotsi.
No, but let's not allow the Tsotsis to prevail then.
No, but the Tsotsi, you'll only know him by his action. A Tsotsi, you don't know a Tsotsi before. Today's Tsotsis, they wear suits. They were not wearing Brent Woods and those things the Tsotsis those years were wearing. Yeah. The Tsotsis now, they even wear have a Bible in their hand. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm saying to you, as the minister, there's no one. You see me, there's no one that's going to stop me from making sure VAR gets implemented. I'm not going to listen to no one on the issue of VAR because FIFA has allowed VAR. FIFA encouraged VAR. Mm. So who would stop me? You can't come to me. Once I no longer speak for VAR, then you must know Mackenzie is a thought. He also got something. Now he's no longer saying VAR is not good for us. VAR is needed. It is much needed in this country. If you know you have nothing to hide, you don't have corrupt referees on your book, if you know you're a player that don't fall around, you will encourage us to have VAR.
Couple of things, and I love the fact that you're committing. But are you committing post-April to a date? Let's say it's your wish list date in terms of the launching and the implementation of VAR. Is there a wish list date for you?
June, we must watch the game must be stopped. The referee must run.
Yeah.
By June.
To go and watch it on this.
Yeah, he must go and watch it. And you know, the one, what is he in Sutu? How wa-u-we? Where is the goal? How football heart attack? Would I football heart attack? I say, heart attack, that's me, it's a baby. You see, for me, I'm telling you, April. So when you call me here in June, sure. You'll be like, Minister, I want to play you something. I know you,
no,
the best sports guy here
country. I can tell that you've been listening to this show for many years. We hold
then
you accountable.
Then you tell me what I said.
Because I know. I'm already telling my team, 1949, that is when the clip was said. 1949, that is the time.
I see them. Bona bang olajwang. Kekus kreifeli achter me.
Yeah, of course. Hele skreif. Hele skreif because on said skwal tu gagaan om lees kassels and skreif.
I didn't know what you said now, but I guess.
Yeah, don't worry. I brought them base Afrikaans.
I never know the music of Basie. The actor cover. Basie can't make it work. You never know.
Quickly, Minister, because we are running out of time. I want to get the numbers, though. You said that you've looked at the financial viability of VAR. You've looked at the SAFA numbers, were your words. What do those numbers look like?
You're looking at around 70 million rands once off for the systems.
Just to get the systems in place?
We get the systems in place.
Okay.
And then you're looking at, and this is the amount that we are disputing at the moment, mm-hmm. then you're looking at an amount per game, which is anything between 50 and 70,000 per game.
50 and 70,000 for the entire. I mean, would you do it like Stokely Park, where you kind of VAR at every stadium, so you have to have one central place where all the games come through, like they do in the Premier League? Is they have Stokely Park there, which is exactly where Premier League football is being shown and so on. So it's in a different flow because the feeds are already coming through in any case. So is that the kind of model that you would be looking at?
That's one of the models.
Okay.
What will decide the ultimate model at the end of our decision will be if we can get corporate SA involved. I'm a believer in corporate SA. I come from the corporate world, and they're very keen and they're very happy, and you know, to have a better product. You know, VAR gives you a better product. You know, I remember it was when soccer was professionalized, they said, we want to bring you Murdoch. They said, let's pay these people this kind of money so that they can bring us a better product. VAR will definitely bring you a better product. So the numbers we're looking at is around between, as I say, 40 to 60, 70,000 rands per game, 70 million rands for the equipment. Once you can have sponsors, then you can decide, are you going on a Stokely model or are you going on every game must be on VAR?
But that is the crucial point I was going to get to, Minister, is that VAR commits for the league, it commits for everybody, that every single game has to be under VAR. Otherwise, it is not fair.
I agree.
So every game, even if it's Polokwane City versus Chippa United that are playing, even if it's Royal AM versus AmaZulu playing, even if those games are playing at the same time, there has to be VAR. Because if the so-called big game of the day gets VAR, but those two games don't get VAR and they get the benefits derived out of VAR, and there's a contentious issue in that Chippa United, Polokwane City game, then that is not fairness. Then you come back to an issue of they got the benefit of VAR, we didn't get the benefit. It was a clear penalty. We couldn't take it to VAR, but the match of the day got VAR. Then for me, then it cannot work that way. Every single game has to have it.
You're preaching to the converted here.
Yeah.
I agree with you. Everybody, we need to get this football on the level of the Premiership in England. And how are we going to do that if we want to take shortcuts? Let us go there. I am saying, I hate asking people for money if I don't put money.
Sure.
Government is saying, I'm going to budget for this money. April, when I give my budget speech and you hear, I don't talk about VAR.
Then we're not going to talk about you. You, as the Minister of Sport, will then become the former Minister of Sport.
Good evening, Mr. Rob. It's Tony Filling here. And good evening to the MSW shareholders. And good evening to the Honorable Minister Gethin McKenzie. This is a two-part question, but it all revolves around football. Question number one that I have, given the financial debacle, the financial situation that SAFA finds itself in, to a point where both Bafana Bafana and Banyana Banyana players were not paid ahead of the final days of 2024, has there been some form of solution found for both parties between yourselves as the Department of Sport, Arts and Culture and SAFA, even though maybe the one fear would be getting some form of a ban from FIFA due to the interference from government? That is question number one that I have for you. And number two, based on the situation of Royal AM, basically, what do you feel about the whole Royal AM situation? Because I think we have spoken about Royal AM and other clubs that have done what Royal AM has done and find themselves in situations that Royal AM find themselves in at the moment for far too long. And we haven't heard from the Department of Sport, Arts and Culture. So I want to find out from you, what do you feel about those two types of questions that I've asked you?
Great, I think, as always. The first part was dealt with, Lufalang. Thank you so much indeed. But maybe the Royal AM one is the first one on the table. Do you have an opinion about them?
Yes, I do have an opinion. I just think that, you know, people fall foul of revenue services around the world. Royal AM is not the first one. The great Lionel Messi had tax problems. I'm saying that we should not act when people have tax problems that it should be the end of them or the end of the world. I just think that it was a disgrace for us to allow a team like Bloemfontein Celtic to disappear from the PSL. It will equally be a disgrace if Royal AM, because they brought something different to the PSL. They brought female, black female ownership. Not black female management, like we've seen. You remember when Ria Lidwaba with Lidwaba Stars, how we celebrated that. I am appalled at people saying that let them die. We need to see, I want to hear the league speak more. I want to hear what the solution is. And in no way, if she's guilty, she must go to jail. That's what I'm saying. But I'm saying that we're not dealing here with an individual. We're dealing with a team. We're dealing with players that must get salaries. We're dealing with talent that might go waste. So this thing is much bigger than Mamkize. It's much bigger than that. So I'm saying that the league needs to meet and with SARS and say, how best can we sort this problem out? What I've seen is a problem in our sports. I don't know what you call it, but it is not only in soccer. I see it in the PSL. I see it in the SAFA. I see it in SAR. I see it everywhere. People let things drag on. There was this issue we could see from a mile away. Trouble is coming here with Royal AM. FIFA was wanting them to pay 12 million. I just feel that we as organizations need to not wait for the bullet to hit us. The moment somebody takes a firearm, you know, a problem is going to come. But to answer your question, do I want Royal AM back? I would love to see them back. And if it's not even Mamkize, I would love to see a black woman. I was speaking to people that is my family. And I said to them, women in my family, you never invest in sport. My cousins that's in business. I said, you need to really learn from Mamkize many years ago. I said, you need to learn from Mamkize. There she is. She's going into a men's world. And I'm still saying today that I still appreciate the fact that she's gone into a men's world. Let us see how we can help the team, how we can help the players, how we can do that. She must get out of a problem. She's a businesswoman. Since I've known her, I think she will know how to get out. And let us just not let the team die like Bloemfontein Celtic.
Would you and your business partners be able to buy Bloemfontein Celtic?
Let me say this. There are people that's very close to me that is busy buying Bloemfontein Celtic. This is breaking news of Gugio.
They are busy buying?
No, they're busy buying. But he's talking to a franchise in the PSL.
Okay.
I'll give you breaking news here. People is very close to me, very close. Because they want to bring Celtic back to Bloemfontein. They, when I spoke to them as early as 2 days ago, they said to me that they bought the company. Has given them until the end of January to come with a yay or a nay. They're speaking to a particular club.
In the PSL?
In the PSL.
Okay.
To buy the franchise, to take it to Bloemfontein.
But it's simple. We were talking about Royal AM now. So remember, Royal AM is Bloemfontein Celtic. Because Real AM is that bought the entity, then shipped it to Durban. So obviously with all of these problems that you don't know how far it will go, shouldn't they just be able to reverse the process and allow the lady then to focus on all the problems that she has to clear, but let Bloemfontein win by getting its badge, its colors, its fans back?
They have spoken to the lady.
They've spoken to Mom Kizer.
They've spoken to her. That I can assure you, because they've spoken to the lady, and the negotiations was not successful. Mm-hmm. Hence, they're speaking to another. These are people I can vouch for.
Okay. Integrity-wise.
Integrity-wise. They're not in football. But all of us that's from Bloemfontein understand one thing.
Yeah.
Come hell or high water, Bloemfontein Celtics has to come back. And for me, you know, I was in tears. I had tears in my eyes. I went to, it was the Makufe Cup.
Yes.
Chiefs was playing against Maruma.
Yeah.
And somebody said, hey, go greet the supporters there. And I didn't want to go, to be honest with you, but I went, yo, Rob, I got tears in my eyes when they start singing, Mackenzie Kilisele. And the crowd, the whole crowd in the stadium started singing Mackenzie Kilisele. And I just feel that, and I'm so happy that this group of people that I know very well will now, by end of January, have bought a team. The current negotiations, according to them, asked them 2 days ago, they said, we are so happy we are speaking to professional people.
Wow.
They wanted to get Swallows, but they were just a little bit late.
Yeah.
And you know, the guy that used to run Swallows, David, is very ethical. David, he was offered more money. And he said, no, my word is my bond.
Sure.
I'm sorry, but this guy has not paid me yet. I'm going to wait for them to. Yeah. I know there's a bigger offer on the table. But Bloemfontein Celtics is coming back. This is the first time. I don't even know if I'm in trouble by saying that.
No, there's never any trouble. You've given us a whole plethora of breaking news on the show. And before I think, you know, your security detail breaks my bones with all this breaking news. I think let's break away, Minister. And all I can say is that what a way to start the year. There were still a gazillion more things to ask you. But that is sport. It's ongoing. But all I can promise the listeners and everybody else that's stayed with us, and I salute everyone on the YouTube channel, thank you guys for doing that. Thanks to the team as well for being here and their patience. I think we've garnered more than most. We start the new year re-energized. We start the new year with goals. We start the new year with hopefully what a budget speech that will put smiles on our faces. We'll be watching the forensic and seeing what that audit brings about as far as SAFA is concerned. We'll be following what you do with the boxing SA. We'll be following as all what you do with cricket SA. You know, the imperatives that are being overlooked when it comes to the SA20. We are going to be looking at that because that is disgraceful. That should not be happening in South Africa in 2025. So there are many, many things from the top of my mind, as I've just mentioned them now, that will be looking very closely for your accountability. And thanks for allowing us to step into that space. At times, as uncomfortable as it is, but you're Gayton Mackenzie. You've been where the likes of R. Kelly are right now. You've been where the likes of Bill Cosby are and have been before. You've been to where the likes of former president, the late Nelson Mandela, have been. So you know what the cold cauldron of a jail cell feels like. And you're a fighter. Questions don't hurt you. We'll keep coming up with more questions. So from us, sir, all the best in 2025. We'll be watching.
Salute. Thank you. Thank you, Rob.
You're a superstar.
Salute.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Minister of Sports, Arts and Culture, Gayton Mackenzie, thank you very much for all the comments.
Hashtag MSW live now on 947 Vuma FM, Rise FM, and Soweto Live at the same time.